We have on our agenda for today the dinim of tipas cholov shenofla al hakadeira, when a drop of milk falls on a pot that is cooking fleishiks. So what's the halacha in that case? It's not clear. It's really not clear at all. The Gemara only spoke about tipas cholov shenofla al hakadeira, when a drop of milk falls on a piece of meat. We never in the Gemara address a case of tipas cholov that falls on the pot. And we spoke way back when we began the siman about the Trumas Hadesh and the Svar of Makushar, and that Svar obviously is very relevant for this case. Effectively, there are, as Rabbi Rosenzweig will probably begin to share, many different possibilities. One possibility is that the tipas cholov that falls on the pot, so that tipas cholov spreads throughout the pot. And then what? So if I read the smag that the Beis Yosef quotes right over here, the smag says that if it spreads throughout the pot, the more this tipas cholov spreads throughout the balua in the kedera, we're assuming this pot had previously been used for meat, and it's not like a brand new pot, there is blias in the dofna hakedera. So according to the smag, the more the blias spreads, the more usur it becomes. Effectively, the smag sounds like the entire pot could be asur. The smag never distinguishes between where it hits. Does it hit on the top of the pot, above the water line? Does it hit keneged harotav? According to the smag, asur, 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 ad kan devarav. The Maharam of Rutenberg, however, has a different shita. Maharam of Rutenberg says that were we to know that it would spread very, very far, so then it would taka be mutter. What the Maharam of Rutenberg is saying is that the tipas cholov that falls into the pot could end up being bottle in all the blias of that pot. This is one drop of milk that falls, no? So one drop of milk that falls, it kenzain, is going to be bottle in all of the other blias in the pot. But, says the Maharam of Rutenberg, I have to be choshesh, that maybe it doesn't spread all that far. Again, so it's the opposite of the smag. According to the smag, the more it spreads, the more usur it is. According to Maharam of Rutenberg, the more it spreads, the more mutter it is. But, says Maharam of Rutenberg, I have to be choshesh, that maybe it didn't spread azoivait. Maybe it didn't go so far. Maybe it only spread till 59.99 times its volume, thereby creating chanan in that one area, with this as being the center point. In that one circle, right, with this as a center point, so there's going to be chanan. And consequently, says Maharam of Rutenberg, I can be makel, but all you need, it sounds almost like Cinderella, right? Sure, you can go to the ball. Sure, you could be makel, but all you have to do is all your chores beforehand. All you have to do is 3,600 times keneged. Why 3,600? Because I'm choshesh that what? That it's going to spread ad shishim, right? And create chanan in the blias, in the daifnei hakedera. And then I need shishim times keneged the iser, and that iser is now 60 times bigger than it originally was, yielding 3,600 times, basically, or 3,599, right? That's basically what the Maharam of Rutenberg says. The third shita over here is the shita of the smack. The smack, which Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik always says was like the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch of the medieval Jew, right? The smack was divided up into the days of the week. Yeder Vach, you're supposed to chazer all of smack and learn one section of the smack every day. And it's like a very quick way of going through all the mitzvahs. It's very, very nice stuff in the smack. So the smack actually was, you know, it's a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the medieval Jew, Chaim Soloveitchik says, because it was printed and reprinted so many times. Yidden used to learn smack like as a regular thing. So in the smack, he tainas that we have to distinguish, and he's the first one who comes up with this distinction between whether the tipas cholov hit keneged harekon or did it hit keneged hatavshel. If it hit keneged hatavshel, so he assumes then for sure we could be mekel. Memanoshach, you could be mekel. Why could I be mekel memanoshach? Because like the smack. So there are different nuscha'is as to how to say this. One nusach, the Beis Yosef's nusach of how to say this is, well, if it hits Keneged HaTavshil, there are really two possibilities. If it spreads in the Balua Shev Keli, and then what? And then it's going to all be bottle, like the Maharam of Rembrandt said, the more it spreads, the more mutter it's going to be. But if it doesn't really spread, so then what happens? Then what happens is it goes through and through, and it goes into the Tavshil, and then I have Shishim Keneged it. So according to the smack, when it hits Keneged HaTavshil, for sure it's mutter, and the way the Shach and the Beis Yosef understand, the Maman of Shach is the more it spreads, more mutter, or if it doesn't spread, it just goes into the food and becomes butter right away. The Taz is slightly different. Nusach over here, according to the Taz, it's found in Sif Katin Yud Tes, mostly a very, very long Taz. The Taz is inclined that the more it spreads, the more usser it's going to be. However, the Taz says that really what we have over here is two possibilities. One possibility, Zuck the Taz, is that the Tipa lands on the Kedera and stays there. Wow, we just invented a new possibility, no? It lands there, and there it shall remain. That drop of milk is never going to, right, enter the pot. It stays there. Oh, that's interesting. Right, another possibility is that it spreads. If it spreads, it's going to spread until Shishim times, but if it spreads also, it could be bottled with the stuff that's inside the Kedera. So according to the Taz, right, it's La Halacha, it's not really fundamentally different than the Shach, although we'll maybe discuss a nuance of difference in a few minutes, but according to the Taz, V'hitz Keneged Ha Tavshil, it's going to be mutter. Why is it mutter? Either because it does not impact the food at all, it stays where it is, or it's going to be mutter because if it spreads, right, so then it's going to be bottle into the food also. Then the shishim of the food is going to be mevatala. However, if it hits keneged harekan, so then the smack says, in that case, we have to be worried that maybe the bliya of this cholov spreads until the waterline, and thereby, where it spreads ad shishim of the original volume until right before the waterline, thereby making iser in the pot, thereby creating a problem. What should I do in this case? What should I do? You see, if I'm going to pour the food out, so then there are two ways of pouring food out. Two ways of pouring food out. One way of pouring food out is I pick the whole pot up and I dump it. In that case, it could be it's all going to be bottle. The other way of pouring the food out is I pour it slowly. If I pour it slowly, so now I'm pouring my food when it's kshreif. Right? I'm pouring my hot kosher food on this treif area, and my hot kosher food is going to become treif as it passes over that upper part of the pot, thereby making it all treif. Or, so in the first case, I pour the entire thing out in one fell swoop. I have a problem aim about when the Shulach HaTchila says the Shach, ice, something or another, oschach. In the second case, I have a problem that's mamish going to become treif. So what am I supposed to do? So what I'm supposed to do in these cases is either I pour it out on the other side, right? It hit on this side of the pot, no? Hit over here. So I could pour it out on this side, the other way. Okay, right? That's a good eitzah. Or the Rishonim give a few other eitzahs. One eitzah is don't touch it. Leave it the way it is, no? You leave it the way it is until it cools down. And then by leaving it until it cools down, so obviously there won't be a problem, because once it cools down, so then the food can't become treif. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Now the Shach in Ois Chaf Aleph notes that the Rishonim give another Eitzah. The other Eitzah the Rishonim give is instead of leaving it until it cools down, what I could do is Lahavdil, imagine that it's a bottle cap on Shabbos, and I'm being very Charedi. So what I do is I pierce that bottle cap, no? I pierce the bottom of my pot, and then what happens, right? This is advanced physics, Yeshiva College students, right? What happens is the liquid leaves the bottom, because when there's a hole in the bucket, dear Liza, the liquid all goes out, and it's going to be okay, Now, the Rishonim do not recommend making a hole in the bucket. And they don't say the reason I would have said. I would have said that we don't make a hole in the bucket because why ruin your bucket? Right? Why ruin your pot? You can just let it cool down, no? But the Rishonim give a slightly different reason. The Shachtain is, the reason you don't make a hole in the bucket is because we're worried that maybe in the moment of making the hole, the liquid's going to jump up for a second, no? And because I'm worried that's going to jump up for a second, it might become treif at that moment. The little bit that jumps up and hits the hot treif part of the top of the pot is going to become treif. So therefore, don't make a hole because you don't want to make waves at all. Okay. Now, what is amazing over here in the series, the way this halacha developed, is that what we discussed until now is the Ikar Hadin. Right? The Ikar Hadin of what happens, pretty much. We discussed the Ikar Hadin. Maybe we'll modify what we're saying in a minute. But the Ikar Hadin of what happens when the Tipas Chala falls on the Kedera. Right? And does the Isser spread? Does it not spread? We should note, by the way, that the Gemara in Zvachim on Sadi Vav has a suffix about Bishol b'miksas hakli, whether it's ton mariko shtifa b'chol hakli. That's precisely this issue, or that's the makar for this din. If I cook in part of a pot, now if you're asking, what the heck does it mean that you're cooking in part of a pot? How do I cook only in part of the pot, not in the whole pot? Does everything become hot? Not become hot. So that's a good kasha, and that's Tosis's kasha. Taisus in Zvachim Sadi Vav says, I don't understand. If the whole pot is hot, so you're cooking in the whole pot. If it's not hot yet, so it gets involved in the Chamek Sosai Chambakulo, and why are we discussing whether it's Mifapeya or not? Like, so the Mitzias, the Tzir of the case, is not abundantly clear, but the Gemara says that Bishop and Mixas Hakli, La Halacha, it's Ton Mariko Ushtifa Bechol Hakli. La Halacha, you have to do this process that's very similar to kashering, to prevent the nosar on the bleas that are inside the kli. You have to do it on the entire kli. That's what the Gemara in Zvachim says. So that Gemara is really the source of this discussion. We've shown them when the Tipas Cholov hits, does it go, does it spread to the entire kli or not? That's the issue. The Bishop of Mixas HaKli, right, does it spread to the entire kli? Ken Zayin, that Gemara is really not so relevant for us because that Gemara is talking about Kodshim, Mariko Shtifa. Who says it applies to Hechsher Kalim? Right? Who says we can make a Dimyon? And that really is the Hemshach of the Gemara. That's the Gemara from Tzadi Vav. The part before two dots concludes that Tom Mariko Shtifa B'chalakli after, so then the Gemara gets involved in like Truma and other stuff. That seems to be our issue, although it's not so simple how we pass in that Gemara. There's different Shittos in the Amoraim about Truma, etc. So Ayin Shom in that Gemara. B'kitzer ha-ma'aseh, the issue the Rishonim are addressing as to whether it spreads in asers, it doesn't spread, and whether it goes inside or up, down, right? All these possibilities really stem from the Gemara in Zvachim, and the din, as it appears in Sadi Beis, if hay is like the smack, that there's a difference between whether it's keneged ha-reikon or keneged ha-tavshon. So far, so good? Now, what is not fully discussed in Sadi Beis Hay is in a case where it hits Kineged Ha Tavshel, so then we assume the food is kosher. Is the pot also kosher, or is the pot going to be treif? No? Now, this issue should depend on the lumdis that we were saying beforehand. You see, the Taz presented a possibility that when it hits Keneged HaTavshel, what happens is the drop of milk stays where it is and it never enters the Kedera. Remember that possibility in the Taz? Oy bazoy, it would seem like the pot is going to be treif, no? Now,
it's in the walls.
Because it's in the walls of the pot, but it doesn't leave the walls of the pot. Now, it's a type of treif thing that we have to get involved in our lumdis of Keli Shadako Shtamashko B'Shefa that we mentioned last week in passing in the Shi'ar, right? It's a type of treif thing that is never going to treif anything else up. Because this one drop, if it didn't leave the first time, right, it's not going to leave the second time either, right? But Still, one could contend that I should kasher it because lemaisa it's a treif kli. Alternatively, according to those possibilities, that it goes inside and becomes batel, goes through and through. So what emerges is that there's no tarfus at all. And according to the possibility that it spreads throughout the daifnei hakedera and it becomes batel in the bleis in the daifnei hakedera. So according to that possibility, also it should l'chora not require real hechsher. If you look in the Taz, in letter Yud Zayin, so the Taz Taina is that the Isser V'Heter sounds like you need Hechsher Me'ikar Hadin over here. The Maharshal, however, says that the Hechsher is only required as a Chumrah. The practice is that we are Machshir Akli when the Tipas Cholov hits Keneged Hatavshol. Right? Is that practice, and that practice is really said by the Rama in Se'if Vav, that we'll talk about in a second as well. But the practice is that we're machsher the kli. Why am I machsher the kli? Isser v'heter sounds like this hechsher of the kli is some sort of me'ikar hadin. Mevur mizad akadera asura. We treat the pot like it is mamish aser. Now that is all from the Isser V'Heter. The same Isser V'Heter is also machmir in the case that we have in Se'if Vav. Se'if Vav tells us something that for us, you seem confused, Ari.
Is there an issue of using a treif kli if it has no effect on the food?
So this is something that we spoke about in passing last week. It could be yes, and it could be that the practice of kashering the kli is precisely to solve that problem, right? Or it could be that the reason why we kasher the kli is because we hold it's usur me'ikradin, and theoretically, I don't know what. I don't know how it can possibly make anything treif. But the only reason to asur the kli, l'chora, is let me say it like this. There are two reasons to kasher this kli. One reason is because of the Isser Hishtamshus in the kli that's treif. That's the fancy beer that we gave based on Rabbi Ganek's piece in his Sefer, that when we were learning Kuf Beis, we encountered this idea with respect to Dabar Shigesh Lamatirin about the din of Kalim She'enam Tavulim. Right, whether there's an Isser to use it or not, right? So Rabbi Ganek, based on the Arsa Meach, developed the idea there's an Isser Hishtamshus in a kli that's not kosher, so maybe that's why we kosher it. The Maharshal, however, says that the reason why we kosher the kli in this case, when the Tipas Cholov hits Keneged HaTavshil, the reason why we kasher it is because to people it will look very weird. You see, to the average balabas, they look at this, they say, one second, dude, Rabbi, don't give me fuzzy math, Rabbi, right? There's milk that hit this fleshic pot. How can you not kasher it, Rabbi? Now, like, to explain to the balabatim, that like, we're not kashering it because, like, whether the bliya went inside or it spread, and everything's going to be okay, like, that'll confuse the balabatim. So you say, you know what? Kasher it! Right? Kasher it, Yoel. Right? That's basically what we tell the guy. But that would be the approach of Chumrah. The approach Me'ikar Hadin sounds like we're assuming that there's some Isser Me'ikar Hadin to use a keli that's not kosher, and then it gets involved in the sig of keli shadakol shdamish bo b'shefa, because this case would certainly be dakol shdamish bo b'shefa, because it's only one drop, no? Let's go on. The Isser V'Heter is the authority, I'll speak respectfully, who says that you have to kasher the kli me'ikar hadin le'hitz k'neged hatavsho. Shach ois chof zayin, the Shachan Oschavav points out that according to the Isser V'Heter, even in a case where the Tipas Cholov is Keneged Ha'esh, and we assume, right, it says in Shulchan Aruch, when it falls Keneged Ha'esh, Sheha'esh Sarfo Umiyabsho, that it doesn't aser it at all, no? And burns it up, right? The Iser v'Heter is the one that says, yeah, but even when it's Kenegara Eish, the Shachwas and the Iser v'Heter, you still got a Kasha the pot. Now, for us, practically speaking, we don't have this case of Kenegara Eish, no? Because we have the Eish underneath the pots, and when a tipa's going to hit the pot's on top of a tripod, it's not really Kenegara Eish. The way they had it, I imagine that they had like a flamethrower that they used to to cook with or something. What?
They have a cauldron sitting in the fire.
It's in the fire. So, Kenegara Eish, it's going to be burned up before it gets to the pot, so it's not going to be a problem. According to us, and the Badei HaShulchan points this out, the Metzias of Kenegara Eish for us doesn't help. But the fact is that the Iser v'Heter, I think, is Mishi Tasso, in that he is saying that there's some Iser v'Hishtamshos in the Kli that's not kosher, and as a result, he says, even Kenegara Eish, what? What are we worried about? You have to say that even when it's Kenegara Eish, he's Choshesh, that tiny drop didn't get burned up beforehand. You're right. Kenegara Eish, it's going to get burned up. Does that mean in Gansen incinerated that nothing hits the pot? Says the Iser v'Heter? No, not necessarily. And so long as a tiny amount hit the pot, so I have to be worried that this pot becomes a Keli She'enel Kosher, and then I can't use that Keli to cook with. So far, so good. So, Nachzer L'Didan. Tipas Cholov falls on the pot. We know, Me'ikar Hadin, we follow the smack. Keneged HaRotav is less of a problem. The minig still is that we kasher, right? The minig still is that we kasher. Keneged HaReikon, if it hits against the empty pot part, so that is more of a problem. In that situation, you should pour it out the other side or leave it until it cools down. So far, so good? That's Sif Hei. Sif Vav, Tainas, that we got chumras here.
Because Keneged HaReikon, there's no shishim in the walls to Mivatel, correct?
We're choshesh that maybe it will spread until 59 times of its original size and just stay there.
And what do we take? We don't take the whole pot into account. We take just its area, only the area it actually hit.
Correct. And
why don't we take more into account?
So we're worried. We don't know the way bleas travel. We just don't know. It's a great mystery in life. So we're worried that the bleas only travel to 59 times its original volume, and maybe it's going to spread until right above the waterline, and it's going to make a treif area within this pot.
The bleas will spread, not the trap.
The treif bleas now. Right? Because I had fleishik bleas in the pot beforehand, and now cholov hits it, so I'm worried that there's going to be basa b'cholov in the balua of the kli 59 times the volume of that original... that original tipa, right? And therefore, I have a treif part of the kli. So what do I do when I have a treif part of the kli? So there are two options in Shulchan Aruch Sif Hei. I pour it out the other side, avoid the treif part, or I wait until it cools down. However, the Nahagu HaOlam, the minig of the Velt, is that we are machmir that when it hits Kineged HaReikon, that it becomes treif. Now, why are we machmir that it becomes treif? So there are two parts of this chumr. One part of the chumr is that we're not going to pour it out the other side while it's still hot. The reason for that, I think we understand, is that we're worried that, you know, my hands could be shaky and it could mess up. What about letting it cool down? So the Ramah, the Mechaber, I should say, the impression you get from the Mechaber is that we're machmir not even to let it cool down. The practice is that we aser it when it hits Keneged HaDoifen Shalom Keneged HaRotav. If it's Keneged HaEish, we're still going to be Mekel, but if it's not Keneged HaEish, we're going to be machmir. What about the Tzinun? The Mechaber apparently is worried, and the Tazen Oschof speaks it out, the same type of concern that we had before, where that in the process of tzinon, maybe you'll bump into the pot and it's going to move up again and become partially treif. That's what the Taz says. However, the Gra and the Shach, two Jews from Vilna, the Shach Oschof Dalit and the Gra Oth Tes, they both are mekol ayyadei tzinon in this case, no? You get an impression that the Taz is following that you should be machmer ayyadei tzinon. Fine. Correct. They don't dispute. Shulchan Aruch is Shulchan Aruch L'maisa is Machmir, but the Shach disagrees. He quotes at the Maharai, who's easier in the Piker and Tikken Koham and Hugim. Right. So he says that you could be make like Deit Sinun, but the fact is Shulchan Aruch is Machmir. Right.
Okay.
No, it's a Machlok just La Halacha. That's one issue that comes up in Sifav. So basically, we have the Iker Hadin of Se'if Hei, where what we're seeing now is the Iker Hadin of Se'if Hei. Se'if Vav imposes an additional Chumra that Keneged HaReikon, it's all going to be Aser. In Sif Vav, we also see that this kula that we have of Keneged HaEish only applies to one drop. If you have a whole splatter Keneged HaEish, so then that kula doesn't apply. Okay, that's another detail within Se'if Vav. Then Se'if Zayin comes, and Se'if Zayin turns the tables, but it's not clear how much are the tables being turned. Let me explain. Se'if Zayin says, Yesh mishematir b'shas hadacha kegoyin Erev Shabbos, right? Afilu shelo keneged harotov, shelo keneged ha'esh, al yedei shishim, v'hachi nahog. There are some who are mekal if it's a Shas HaDachak. Now, the Shas HaDachak case is when it's Erev Shabbos. What does it mean, Erev Shabbos? So, L'cha'ora, Erev Shabbos means as follows. If the Shach was correct in Se'if Vav, that you could always be Meiko Ayyadei Tzinun, but there are some times that waiting until the food is going to cool down won't help me. If I need this food for my Se'udas Shabbos, and now I'm going to wait until it cools down, by the time it's going to cool down, let's say the Metzius is, that I'm not going to be able to heat the food up again on Shabbos. If I have to spend the 45 minutes until the pot cools, and then I could take the food out. Remember, the Shach holds, I could always wait until it cools. If I have to spend that time until I get the food out, can Zayin that what? That I'm not going to be able to have the food for Shabbos. And therefore, Zuck the Shach. Therefore, we are going to be makel on the chumra that we had in Se'if Vav. In Se'if Vav, we came up with a chumra that when the tipa falls shelo keneged hatavsha, when the tipa falls keneged harekon, that we are machmir. But that chumra does not apply on Erev Shabbos. That's the way standard Judaism Shach and Taz understands. Or Mekol Tzairich Orechem, Tzairich Hefzen Meruba, etc. The cheshbon for this kula in Se'if Zayin would be saying something along these lines. Whenever I have a chumrah, I have to be careful that my chumrah is not a chumrah da'asi lidei kula. No? You always got to be careful. Chumras have an important role in Yiddishkeit. They make us feel good about ourselves. And the Mesillas Yesharim writes in his Perek of Nikiyus that chumras reflect a sincere amount of Yiras Shamayim. Absolutely. Chumras are very, very beautiful things. But you also have to know what's the Iker Hadin and what is the Chumra. So when I have a Chumra that will impact on me not being able to be yotzei my Iker Hadin. So Udos Shabbos is an Iker Hadin requirement. So says the Shach, Taz, etc. Oh, you know what? Don't keep your Chumra when it's going to influence the Iker Hadin. That is the first Mahalach among Poskim. Okay.
You know, you'd be yotzei your Iker Hadin.
So apparently they're saying it's not clear. Is this the pshat that this is the only food I have for Seudas Shabbos, or is it that this food will enhance my Seudas Shabbos? But either way, I say it. Lamaisa, right? There's a kiyum of Iker Hadin, right?
But if there's other food, then it's a much bigger kiddush to say don't do the chumra if it'll in any way negatively impact your.
And it's a much bigger kiddush. I'll agree with that. And that's a fair question. Like when we say that we're mekel, right, letzorech se'udas Shabbos, or letzorech orchem, does that mean that they'll have no food? Mashal ma'adar adomen. No, like when was it, 2 weeks ago, that the Wayu Erev was partially down? Right? Shabbos Parsha Zachar, right? So Rav Shechter made an announcement in the Beis Medrash that you should only use the Erev if it's like absolutely necessary. Now, what does that mean, absolutely necessary? Su'udas Shabbos. Okay, well, what's Su'udas Shabbos, right? So we're going to have food, but we won't have dessert. Is that considered Su'udas Shabbos? Right? That's exactly the question that you're asking. Are you allowed to carry in that situation when the Erev goes over a scaffolding? You can't carry in that situation when the Erev goes over a scaffolding. It's the same type of issue that we could clear over here on this din as understood by the Shach and the Taz. Say there. Goin, Vilna Goin, letter Lamed Dalet, and this is all in the Badi HaShulchan Os Kuf Lamed Ches, the Goin points out that he thinks that the Kula of Erev Shabbos is much bigger. The Goin basically goes back to something that we encountered, where was it? In Sadiq Ches Se'if Hei. Remember there was a machlokes between the Rashba and the Ramban as to whether we assume that there is Chanan in the Balua Shebekeli? Zuck the Goin, whoa, hold it, Jews. Right? If you hold that there's no Chanan in the Balua Shebekeli, so there's really not much of a problem that Tipas Cholov hits the pat, no? And in fact, when the Ramah writes that Svara Rishoina is Iker, that there is Chanan in the Balua Shebekeli, he says, Kemoshin is Spa'er La'el, Gabi Tipas Cholov Shenafla Kedera, Unzer Din. So the Goin is saying, okay, very nice. So we try to be Machmir, that there is Chanan in the Balua Shebekeli. But Bidi Yeved, right? Erev Shabbos, Shas HaDechak, so then I'm going to be Mekel, not just on the Chumra of Se'if Vav, according to the Gra, I'm going to be Mekel even on Se'if Hey. I'd even be allowed to pour the food out again, right, on that area where it hit, if I have Shishim Kenegdai. Why? Because there's no such thing as Balua Shebekeli. The Gra is saying that the Iker Hadin is absolutely, right, different than you thought. You said the Iker Hadin was that the pot's going to be treif, and we're only Mekel in Se'if Zayin when it's Erev Shabbos, because then we're not going to have the Chumra. Says the Gra, on Erev Shabbos, I'm going to hold that there's a different Iker Hadin. That the Iker Hadin is the other day in Sadiqa Se'if Hei, the day that there's no Chanan in the Balua Shebekeli. That's what the Goin says. Now, just one last point to conclude with. The Taz in Oschaf Beis quotes an interesting tshuva of the Mahari Mitz. He says that when you give a kula, b'shas hadachak, no? I'll make 2 points. We're making b'shas hadachak and hefsa merubah. So, ayin pischei tshuva simen lamed alaf, I think, sifkat and dalet. As to what's the definition of hefsa merubah. There's one day in the pischei tshuva, the hefsa merubah is when I lose a third of my estate. The other days, a hefsa merubah is very subjective. It depends on hakol fi ra'os inei hamore. You have to look at the Baal HaBos who's coming to ask you the shayla. How much money the Baal HaBos has? Is it hefsa merubah? Is it not hefsa merubah? It's a much more fluid definition. So that's a very important marimakum in terms of just how we define hefsa merubah. That's one thing. Next thing, Taz over here quotes the truth of the Mahari Mint, that whenever I make up a Makom Hefsim Rubut, Sayyid Shabbos, Archem, all the kulas that we have, these kulas, you have to tell the Balabatim why. That means don't treat the Balabatim like idiots. When they ask a Shaila, don't just say it's mutter. Right, you have to explain why, right, says the Maharimins. You have to say, oh, I'm being Makel now because it's Erev Shabbos at Tzairach Godo. Usually we wouldn't be Makel on this Shaila. Usually when it hits Keneged, Harekon, we treat it like treif. But in this one case, in this one case only, because you have 14 guests coming over, and this is the main food for Shabbos, so this is the one time I'm going to be Mekel. Right? You have to explain it to them. You have to give a reason for the psak. Ordinarily, I can just paskin. Aser, aser, mutter, mutter. Right? But in a case I'm giving a unusual psak, b'makom hefsid, then I have to explain why. There is a din in Hanhagas Iser V'Heter, in Simin Reish Mem Beis of Yerideya, that it's usher for a posek to give a psak that's tamua, no? That's precisely, you can't, sometimes something is mutter me'ikar hadin, but you can't do it, because it looks like Reform Judaism, no? So we don't say that. It says, That's precisely what the Taz is telling us. Okay, so Amir Hashem, tomorrow I want to speak a little bit about Nizchal, the end of Sif Zayin and the Ramaz, and then on Thursday, Be'ezus Hashem, we'll talk about Zaya, and then we will conclude this section of the semester. May you be blessed.